questions? Or I've got.
So you indicated three small forest landowners and two large forest landowners were operating in those areas of desert gray squirrel. And did I hear you right when you said they left one tree, the best tree?
Oh, no. There were actually more than those who had FPAs.
Okay.
But I was saying of the 19 management plans, five of them only maintained the minimum protection as far as leaving only nest trees.
Okay.
It was more than one. And of those five, three were small forest landowners and two were large. But the rest of them, I don't have the details, which I could get more, but they were, I am assuming that they included more of what was in our PHS, priority habitat species conservation measures for western gray squirrel, as far as the buffers around the trees and corridors to water sources and between them.
So I'd be interested in the prescription that was established in those FPAs. What what's the result? A year down the road, what do we got?
Yeah.
Are they still active? Are they still squirrels? It'd be interesting.
Just follow up on that. Have we looked at the effectiveness of leaving single nest trees?
No, we haven't. I know we've been scoping what kind of post-harvest surveys we could do, and we wanted to definitely look at protocols to make sure they were scientifically credible and think about what our critical research questions would be, and to develop a way to do some post-harvest monitoring. We do think that's important because that'll be definitely the way we can know how effective those prescriptions are. But would you have more on that?
Well, I think it's a resource question as of now. I mean, we're putting a lot of effort into looking at the status of the species right now, but I think there is going to be a little bit of expanded capacity in the habitat program, especially in Clickat County, to potentially do a little bit more of post-harvest monitoring work. But yeah, that's something we're interested in as well.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe just following on that a little bit. It's cursory, but there was a post-harvest review of nest tree density done in 2004, right?
Yeah, that Matt Vander had done.
It was 10 sites and 10 controls, but and that seems to me to be the latest look or the most recent look at actual nest density with the application of conservation measures, considering whether those were adhered to or not.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in expanding what the different types of management have been on the ground and what that has led to. So a little bit of more variation than probably what was seen in that study. But yeah, it's a good basis.
Do you recall offhand? I mean, the thing that stuck out to me from that study was that you had some forest practice applications that were above and beyond, and some that involved less than stellar compliance during that period of time, which I think went back to a five-year period prior to publication or something like that. But the actual number of active nests post-harvest didn't seem to have much correlation to what went on in the harvest itself. Is there just too small a sample, do we think? Or I know I'm asking about a 2004 report.
Yeah, I mean, I just know in my discussions with the author, with Matt, he's expressed more interest in wanting to do something more. And so I think it's a good step, and he's learned a lot from that particular study about how to conduct it, but he thinks that there should be some more done. So I don't know much more about what he thinks is lacking. But.
Who was first? Or version me? Is that first?
Did you have a question?
Yeah,
go ahead. So, a couple follow-ons to all the good questions that have been asked so far. So on this discussion of, what's the difference in efficacy of leaving a single nest trees versus more of a buffer around that, I mean, assuming that the PHS recommendations are based on research and the assumption that that the animals need some connectivity to go from tree to tree, and they also don't just need nest trees, they need mast trees as well. So there is some need for habitat that provides forage close to the nest tree. Is that
Yes.
An accurate assumption?
Yes, and cover, and you know, canopy cover is one of the big things.
Higher for visitors.
Well, yes.
Right, okay. And then my second question is, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, 14 of the 18 plans were more than minimal, and that's, you know, that's, you know, great for the landowners who are willing to do that. I'm wondering if you guys have a sense of, either on the horse practices side or the FW side, what it would take to get the 5 who were only willing to leave nest trees to improve that. And, you know, the reason I'm asking that question is obviously we're about to consider a petition, and, you know, if it's learned over time that, you know, the species habitat is becoming quite limited from the perspective of slow loss of, from harvest or development over time, and big pulse of loss from recent fires, and that the population is declining and endangered status is required, then having you know, some rate of you know, less than acceptable protection becomes an issue, and that's something that we have to consider as a board. So, and of course, prior to that, it we all like to know that voluntary measures are working, and if they're working well, there isn't a need for rules. But if they're not working well, and the scale of them not working well is really impacting the population, that's when we, you know, that's when it becomes more serious to consider what we do next. So, to me, that's the obvious question: is there a way to improve education, or you know, the willingness of landowners to do more than leaving just the nest trees?
As far as, is there other ways? We've been trying to think of, I agree the outreach would be really important in education, and then possibly bringing together the Upland Wildlife Working Group again to talk about how we improve. And I think we do need more research with limited resources to be able to figure out if our conservation measures are effective, if Western gray squirrels are really or what they're using post-harvest. So there's a lot of information we need, but I think there is things we can do in the meantime as far as outreach.
I think there's lots of things we're exploring and trying to understand how to work better with private landowners in lots of different realms, including gray squirrel. One of the things we're looking at is the potential for providing more incentives through regulatory assurances, like a state safe harbor that we use for other species that might be available for others. And so there's a lot of discussion between the Habitat Program and the Wildlife Program and DFW to figure out a way that we might be able to add some more incentive to private landowners. So, you know, certainly open any suggestions.
I just defer to these two as far as more research would be really helpful. But I think educating landowners is a key piece of it. And WDFW has done training. I think we could continue to invite them to TFW meetings within those areas to educate landowners so that they're better aware of what's taking place across the landscape.
Just out of curiosity, populations are in Oregon are healthy. There's a hunting season for them. What's the difference, or do you know the difference in habitat characteristics between Oregon and Washington? The critters thriving there?
I guess a couple different things. I'm not sure if there's been super recent surveys on the population in Oregon to say that their adjacent population that's closest to ours does not have any similar issues, but I know that there is a big difference in habitat quality for Washington State, and you'll see that in our recovery plan. You'll mostly find the species associated with oaks in other areas. We find them in North Cascades without any oak whatsoever, and so they're persisting here in a slightly different environment than in other places, and so I think that's part of our hypothesis why they're on the edge. But also, of course, the practices in the past, historically, and how they've affected the population certainly could have impacts that are different than they were in Oregon. So,
Board Member,
just curious, because one of the populations, the Pierce County, population is at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. It seems like that would provide a real opportunity to work with the military to do some monitoring or some assessments of the population in a real, I would think, controlled condition. So I was wondering if you had any plans to do any research there with the military?
That is our best study population currently for that very reason. There's been a lot of interest by the base, and they've provided some funding, so several of our scientists have been working with them over the last maybe 10 years. We've done some experimental translocations there and tested that out. All of the information we know about home ranges in that area comes from individuals that have been collared in that part of the state. And we're also looking at doing some forest health work and what are the impacts of that on the squirrels. And so most of our information is specific to that Joint Base Lewis-McChord, which I think is part of the reason why we want to expand some of that knowledge to other places, because the habitat is so different in all three of our subpopulations.
Other questions? So I wanted to ask about the status review. So the 360, the full year process to contribute information concludes
in March.
March,
yes.
And then is it sort of transition immediately into a notice on what you might propose to the commission thereafter, or is it a longer process before you might propose something? What's the timeline?
Well, it depends on how much information we get from the public and what's there to follow up on. We want to make sure that we're able to collate all that in there, but we do have staff that are working on putting all the available information together in a report, so that hopefully in the 6 to 8 months past that March window, we would be able to finalize something, and if there's a recommendation to go to the commission, that would be the time, would be hopefully next fall.
And as far as additional staff, it sounded like there was an additional or restored habitat bio position in Klickitat County, or the Klickitat area. Prior to that, you had a split of position, or you were, tell me how the workload was assigned prior to that. I'm just trying to understand how much extra horsepower that gives you, because to the question of landowner participation, you don't have somebody available to go talk to them, with them. It's probably pretty hard to get.
I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. So Jeff might know a little bit more about that.
Let me field that one. I guess for the record, I'm not Joe Storr from the department. I'm Jeff Davis. I'm the Habitat Program Assistant Director. It's fair to say we've had a vacant habitat biologist position in Klickitat County for, I don't know, 6-7 years or so. The way we've been attempting to cover the priority workload in that area, there's a little bit of hydraulics work. We had our folks coming over from the Yakima office to cover hydraulics in Klickitat, and we've been basically shouldering the terrestrial workload by Gary Bell's capacity with some assistance from the Region 5 Southwest Washington Region Wildlife District biologist. It's a ton of work, as you might imagine. We're in the process of filling that position, so we've reshuffled the budget and priorities to make sure that we have someone in the community on the ground to help landowners do some better conservation work. For squirrels, that'll be a big portion of the workload, as well as some other game management and some hydraulic work.
And we were talking about research a minute ago, and I noted an ongoing study on hand-cut forest management lands in Klickitat County. Is that, or a series of ongoing studies, are those efforts you can tell us any more about as far as knowing a little bit more on the Klickitat population?
I know it's ongoing. I think the individual who's doing this study is behind me, and hoping to finish writing up that study in the near future, and we're very interested in the results. I think there's been a lot of work with using some genetics to work on the population, so that would be some pretty groundbreaking work, and I think some good science that we can use when that's finished.
Thanks. Any questions? Thank you very much. We are a model of efficiency this morning. So we're going to go to break early, unless there's an objection. We've had a 15-minute break scheduled, so that means we'll be back here on or about 10:30, 10:35. Let's call it 10:35. See you then.